Welcome to My Father's House Podcast, Episode 434, Application Station. Pastor Sarah Velasquez delivered this message on Sunday, August 24th, 2025, in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
God is good. You know, I'm just going to share this picture, and I hope that this blesses somebody this week, spending some time with the Lord. He gave me a picture. And I was inspired through somebody that was painting this picture, creating this illustration with their words, but it kind of kept going on in my heart. And it was, you know, sometimes we go through things or we go through whatever, up and down and, you know, different things, and we can feel something, and we could feel like dysregulated. And Jesus is always there to regulate us. He's always there. He lives inside of us. And this woman was talking about, as she was talking, it was a podcast, but she was with an infant because she, at that time that it was recorded, just had a baby. And she was saying that, you know, just as this baby could be dysregulated and, you know, be crying, the baby all of a sudden, like with the sound of the mother's voice, just lays its head on the mother's chest, you know, the shoulder, and just hears the heartbeat and hears the mother's voice. And that's the heart of the Father for us all the time. And that just so ministered to my heart that I am held right there on his shoulder, on his chest, and that he is my hiding place. It went with a verse for me that he has been speaking to me and elaborating on throughout the week, and that he is my safe place. He is my refuge. He is the secret place, like it talks about in Psalm 91, but that we can be, whatever dysregulation is going on, we can just pause and call out his name and still ourselves to know that we are like that infant on his chest and we're safe there. He's our hiding place, Psalm 32. He is our hiding place. And so I just share that with you too, for whatever it's worth. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
All right, so Psalm 119. Let's we're just begin with that, verses 1 through 5. Joyful are people of integrity. Some other versions say blessed are those who follow the instructions of the Lord. Joyful are those who obey his laws and search for him with all their hearts. They do not compromise with evil, and they walk only on his paths. You have charged us to keep your commandments carefully. Oh, that my actions would consistently reflect your decrees. I hope that's your heart. I loved that expression of verse 5. Oh, that my actions would consistently reflect your decrees, your law, your word. In other words, we're blessed when we follow the instructions of the Lord. When we take this and we put it into practice and we walk in it in our lives, joyful. Sister Rivka talked about the joy of the Lord and being joyful. We are joyful. That fruit of the spirit of joy is activated in our lives, and we are blessed when we put his word into practice, when we apply it to our lives. And so that what we choose to do with our actions, like that last verse 5, that it would consistently, or our actions would consistently reflect and line up to this. Do we do it perfectly? Do you do it perfectly? No, I can tell you I don't. We mess up, and probably many times a day, but that we would endeavor, that our heart would be, Lord, help me to walk in your word. Help me to apply your word to my life. Help me go to The application station, that's the title that the word or that the Lord gave me for this message. It's just like the title came first and I'm like, what are we talking about? Oh, I know what we're talking about. We're talking about applying the word, the application station. Like you go drive up to a gas station and get filled up. Well, today we're going to the application station, okay? And we're going to explore this topic of applying the word of God in our lives, because like so many people have a Bible. This is full of the word of God. And it does a hill of beans if it's just on the shelf collecting dust, or, you know, sitting on my coffee table or sitting anywhere, or even I can try to sleep on it. Has anyone done that? You know, osmosis. I can stand on it and say, you know, I'm standing on the rock. I'm standing on the word. You know, we could do whatever. But if until we get it into our hearts and endeavor to walk it out, like put it into practice, then It's just there. It's there. And you know, it says in Hebrews 4, verse 12, that the word of God is alive and active. Let me turn to that because I didn't have that in my notes. But later the Holy Spirit said, don't forget that one. Right. We won't forget that one, Lord. For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. I'll read it in NLT. There it is. She's on it. Thank you. For the word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. Wow, the word does so much. There's so much potential in the word of God. Like a sword, there's so much potential to do something, to do harm, right? Cut off my enemy's head. But if I just hold the sword and I never use it, then it's just a piece of metal, right? It's just a weapon, but I'm not using the weapon, right? That's like the word of God. It's active. It's powerful. It divides. How did it say it there? It divides, because I have got different versions rolling around in my head like marbles. It divides or cuts between soul and spirit. What's in my spirit from the spirit of God, and what's my soul, my mind, my will, and emotions. And just, it cuts that away. It, when I look at it, it brings like conviction of get the soulish realm out of the way. Let's walk in the spirit. Let's be united to Christ through the word of God, right? And so, wow, what a powerful, amazing tool. It's active. It's not radioactive. It's active. It's alive. It's powerful. Okay, so are you ready? Are we at the application station? You ready to be at the application station? Okay, praise God. So, continuing, won't forget these two verses on Psalm 119, verse 14. There's a lot about joy. This is the thread. I always look for the thread that the Lord is weaving through each service. And she started with that. So verse 14 says, I have rejoiced in your laws as much as in riches. Have we? Do we value the word of God as much as, I don't know, getting a check for $1,000 or winning the lottery? Do we hunger? Do we get excited? Do we rejoice in this? Do we go, yes, I'm so rich because I have the word of God? Are we valuing this more than we value riches, whatever rich monetary riches or whatever you could think makes you rich? NIV says, I rejoice in following your statutes as one rejoices in great riches. So following, verse in Psalm 119, verse 105 says, your word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path. Now, we've spent a lot of this year, at least when I have had the opportunity to bring the word, we've talked a lot about following Jesus, right? The definition of a disciple is one who is following Jesus. How do we follow Jesus? We put his law into practice and we walk in it in our lives, right? His word is a lamp to guide our feet as we're actively walking out this thing of being a Christian, being a follower of Jesus, because anybody can say, yeah, I'm a Christian, but how are you walking? How are you living? How are you like living this out, the true, active, powerful word? Are we really taking it in and walking it out so that others can say they're different? Because others don't know internally, like, what's going on, but they can see the outward. They can see one could make a conclusion about what's assumption and conclusion about what's on the interior, what's in your heart, by what they see you do, by what they see you choose. And so let our actions line up to the word of God, and let the word truly be a lamp to guide. Where should I put my step? Okay, this week, Psalm 32. Okay, I'm going to step there. And a certain verse, that the one that I shared with you that spoke to me, that you are my hiding place. That's where I step. And the actions of the rest of my day flow out of me getting that word coming alive in my heart, that he is my hiding place. And so then I walk that out, and I keep reminding myself, you are my hiding place. It's becoming, that word is becoming alive in me, or applied to whatever word that he has you camping out with. So the application station is where you walk out the word of God. It's where obedience and blessing are found, and where your faith comes to life. And the word of God comes alive inside of you as you walk it out, as you carry it out. We had a really powerful lesson in the Healing Masterclass on Friday night, and the teacher, Barry Bennett, was talking about the word of God being quickened or made alive to us. And I thought, oh, wow, that kind of goes in with this, because in order to walk out, to live, to apply the word of God, oh, it's really helpful if it comes alive in my heart first, right? And we could do, I mean, I started to like think through this, like analyze. Well, I suppose there would be two ways that, yes, I get a revelation of the word of God. He quickens a word to me, like he did with this Psalm 32, you are my hiding place. And it comes alive, and you don't have to decide what to do. It just flows out of you because it's coming alive. It's made real to you. That's the Holy Spirit quickening the word of God to you, inside of you, and then it just flows out of you. And I believe also that there's times where we set our faith. You know, like we have a goal, or we're praying for breakthrough in some area, and we say, I want that. And so I'm going to set my faith there with the word of God, like believing for healing. And maybe it's not, maybe I don't really have full revelation of it, but I say, I'm going to walk that out. I'm going to set my faith there. I'm going to make steps. And praise God, I believe that he quickens that word. It comes alive as we're walking it out, as we're carrying it out. And that is so powerful. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. So we're at the application station. We're going to go to James. James is such a great book. He's practical. I love it. James 1. Start with the very beginning. Okay. James 1. Now, I struggled a little bit with the order of this and how to present this, but we're going to start at 19. Really, I wanted to get to verse 21. Well, really, I wanted to start with verse 22, but that starts with a but, and it's like, well, wait, that's a conjunction, right, Pastor Don? And so you can't start in the middle, like, with a but. So then I go up to verse 21, and it says, so, and I'm like, well, we can't start there either, so we're going to just back it up, and I believe that this verse 19, I mean, it ministered to me in verse 20 also, and so these are good. These are important, and so we're gonna start there with verse 19. So James 1, 19. And we're not starting in the middle with a therefore or a conjunction or like a something that had a previous thought attached to it, right? So it says, understand this. Okay, James, we can understand this. Tell us. My dear brothers and sisters, you must all be quick to listen. Everybody say quick to listen. Because we have two ears to do that. Slow to speak. Good, you got it. Because we've got one mouth, right? And slow to get angry. Yes, help us, Jesus. Okay, verse 20 says, human anger does not produce the righteousness God desires. Here comes the so. He gave us truth, and now it's the so. Here's an action part. So, something we have to do. Verse 21. So get rid of all of the filth and evil in your lives. Kick it out. And humbly accept the word God has planted in your hearts, for it has the power to save your souls. Another word, another scripture there, verse 21, talking about the power of the word of God. This says it has power to save your soul. Oh my gosh! If this has power to save my soul, well, let me get it. Let me hug it. Let me embrace it. Let me meditate on it. Let me chew it. Let me walk it out as I do those things, as it becomes real, because it's alive and it's active and it has the power to save my soul. Well, my soul needs saving. Does your soul need saving? Because some of us sometimes here and there, probably everybody, we've dealt with some anger like he's talking about in verse 19. And anger doesn't produce the righteousness that God desires. Now, I know that in my head, right? I know that in my head, but then somebody does something and I get triggered, right? And it just provokes a response in me. Yeah, I know that's not what God desires, but I just let it all out, right? Well, help us, God. We've got to get rid of the evil and filth in our lives. And so it's a process of, in whatever order you do this, kick that stuff out, renounce that stuff, tell it to go, and the wrong thinking that comes from whatever's causing that wrong action, right? Because there's belief behind a wrong action of like lashing out and being angry and maybe yelling at somebody, or we always seem to talk about road rage here as examples, you know, giving somebody a not nice gesture or whatever it is, a wrong action. If you look at what's behind that, it's not just a wrong action. There's a wrong emotion behind it and a wrong belief. And so it comes from, there's like a deeper root to the action that I did, right? To the thing that triggered me. Like what's way under there, the iceberg that you can't see, right? You can only see the tip of the iceberg, but there's a whole thing underneath. There's a whole root there that is causing that. There's a whole, wrong belief to wrong emotion to a wrong action. So we want to get to the root. And so how do we rid ourselves of all that? Because let me tell you, it doesn't work when you just say, oh, don't do that. Like, don't respond that way. You can do better. And then you get triggered and you do it again, right? Anybody else working through something like that? Okay, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. He's here to help us. And his word is going to save our souls when we get it alive and when we do it, right? And so get rid of that stuff. And then we replace it with the true, perfect word of God. And just not just the words, but we replace it with the revelation of it, of when it gets quickened to us. And I might have to spend quite a bit of time, you know, meditating on it, chewing it, declaring it before it comes alive. Barry Bennett in his teaching told about he was somewhere in missions and dealing with an illness. I think it was hepatitis, and he was jaundiced, and he was like sequestered in his room, and he was there for 4 weeks listening to tapes and scriptures and whatever. I was like, okay, thank you, Barry. I don't feel so bad. 4 weeks it took him until the Lord quickened a word to him. It like, boom, it made the connection. It came alive. And from then on, he was like, I'm healed. Like, he got it. But it took him some time. So however long, it's not about the time, but it's about the power of the Holy Spirit behind the word. When we open our heart to it and we're saying, I'm laying down that other stuff and the giving place in my heart to see truth and to be confronted, to be corrected. Praise the Lord. We all love that, but it comes much better when it's the Spirit of God doing it, right? From us. And then to walk differently, to have that truth save my soul, really. And so this requires humility, which is addressed here. It says humbly in James 1, verse 21, it says, get rid of all the filth and evil in your lives and humbly accept. So there's a humility that is required here. We can't go to God pretending and say, oh, I got it all together. I've got it all together. He knows us anyway. He sees all the struggle. He knows all of us. So we better just go and say, oh, God, help me. Oh, God, I'm dealing with anger. If we're going to go with this example. Help me, Lord. Your word has the power to save my soul. Let it come alive. Speak to me, God. And I spend time and intention going to the word and chewing on the word. That's what it means to meditate, right? Like a cow that chews on its cud over and over and over. Like, speak to me, Lord, right? With an open heart. And there's humility there. We need God's help. We need God's help in a big way to walk, to really follow Jesus and to put this into practice in our lives. So receiving grace, receiving that help, receiving the quickening of the word is the door through which God's grace enters to us. It's by his grace that the Holy Spirit would advocate for us in that moment and make something come alive to us. We're not saved by working or striving, but by just receiving. It's a different position that we have to position ourselves. I receive from you, God. You have the grace to help me to receive. And we are saved then by what God gives to us, by that revelation, by that quickening of the word. We're saved. Our souls are saved. When I see and the Holy Spirit shows me, especially through his word, what the root of the thing that I'm struggling with is. Like this week, can you tell? I'm doing some weed pulling. I'm like getting to some roots of some stuff and like, why? What is it? What's the wrong belief? What's the lie that I have been believing? And what's the origin of that lie? Because I want your truth, Lord. I want your truth, but I got to get to the lie and get that out and then replace it with the truth. And that comes alive. The Holy Spirit can quicken that to me. Praise the Lord. And we already said, humility is involved here. It's required. His word is a seed that is planted and it grows and produces. And we've spent a lot of time this year also talking about that. The seed, Sister Tanya brought that word. Was that last week? Whenever it was. A few weeks ago about the seed being planted in us and harvesting. How is our harvest, right? The word of God is the incorruptible seed. It can't spoil. It can't fade. It can't go rotten. It will produce what it accomplishes. And it can do that in us when we open ourselves. So we know that the word is so powerful and that it has that power to save our souls. The save, when you look at that in verse 21, power to save our souls, I said when I was reading this, well, which save? Like, we've learned all the, different Greek and Hebrew meanings of the word saved, or the words, I guess I should say. And which one is it? Is it soteria? Is it sozo? And it is, it turns out that it is sozo. It's the Greek word for salvation. And it is to be whole, healed, forgiven of sins. So when we get rid of evil and filth in our lives and humbly accept the word, the seed that has been planted in our hearts, it has the power to make us in our soul whole, healed, and forgiven. Praise the Lord. And that match starts to match our soul. Revelation by revelation, word by word, as we get changed and transformed, as we receive that sozo, that wholeness, that healing, that forgiveness, our soul starts to match up more and more with our spirit, what we have received from the Spirit of God from when we were born again, because we have the seed of all of it, of all the fullness of God and all the revelation and all the good stuff. But our soul, our minds are getting renewed. And they're getting renewed at the application station, too. We're getting filled up, like the gas station. Glug, glug, glug. It's all happening right now. I can see it happening in your eyes. Glug, 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 glug. It's filling up. Where's your tank? Quarter full, half full, three quarters full. Are we gushing out? Okay, that happened to me one time. Don't do that. That's not good. Pay attention when you're pumping gas. Okay. Just a side note. Let's keep going. Praise the Lord, overflowing. All right. His word has the power to save our souls. Here's a new section. Listen and obey. We're going to carry on with verse 22 in James 1. Here's the conjunction. But, so it's, we left off for it has the power to save your souls. But don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. That's really good, James. But don't just listen to God's word. Don't let it just come in one ear and go out the other. Oh, I went to church. I heard the word. Check. I'm good. You must do. Oh, wait. I got to do it. I got to do what it says. If you are following Jesus, you got to do what it says. Praise God. Because then you look a little more like Jesus, right? You put it into practice. One step in front of the other. It's like Sesame Street. Okay, praise God. All the songs come out. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you are only fooling yourselves. Other version says you're deceiving yourself. Well, I don't want to be in deception. I don't want to fool myself. Verse 23, James 1, for if you listen to the word and don't obey, it is like glancing at your face in a mirror. You see yourself, you walk away, and you forget what you look like. But if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, and if you do what it says and don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you for doing it. Well, that is good, and that is practical. Help us, Holy Spirit, to practice that right there. Not just listen. We can't just listen to the word. We must do it. In King James, it says, be doers of the word and not hearers only. Are you a doer or you a hearer? Not hero. Hearer. Are you one who's hearing? Right? Be doers of the word and not hearers only. We must have this obedience to the word. Do it means obey, live it, apply it. The word becomes a part of us when we live it out. Because listening only to God's word without practicing it is deception. We're fooling ourselves. It's mental assent. Oh yeah, I got it. I got it. I got it. Jesus loves me. But then something happens and somebody tells me something else, way opposite end of Jesus loves me, like you are worthless or you are whatever. And I realize I don't got it. I don't really got that Jesus loves me thing in my heart. And that's a problem. right? We've got to get revelation. It's got to come alive in us so that we can live it out. Somebody comes then and says, you're worthless. You're not going anywhere. And I go, no, that just falls. Jesus loves me. And I know he loves me because that is thumping in my heart that he loves me. And that lie just crumbles. It doesn't have any power because no, it's alive in my heart. So we got to get the word alive in our hearts. Amen. Okay, we're getting this. Okay, let's do an illustration. You saw my props? Anyone saw my props up here and wondered what in the world is she going to do this time? All right, well, it says that, what does it say, what we read? If you listen to the word and don't obey, it is, Kason's going, uh-oh, he knows what I'm going to do. It is like glancing at your face in a mirror. Hang on a second. It's like glancing at your face in a mirror. I got something in my, uh-oh. Did I lose it? I lost it. Not trying to make a, see, that's why I brought multiple pieces of broccoli. Okay. So the word, it confronts us. I'm looking in the mirror, and then it says, somebody like recite it out for me, or we have it up so I don't forget exactly what, you know, my narration is. It keeps moving around. Okay. Talk about humility, right? If you listen to the word and don't obey, it's like glancing at your face in a mirror. I see that thing. Like I get conviction from the word of God. I see that, yeah, I got something there, but it keeps moving. But then you walk away and I go have a coffee with Pastor Karen and I just don't take any action and I got that thing glaring. Don't worry, I won't get too close. I won't spit it on you. That's what it says that it's like, right? That we just go on. We go on and we don't take action to remove it, to go get some floss or toothbrush or a napkin or something and clean ourselves up because the word is giving a chance to save our soul. And when we see it, we go, oh, whoa, that thing is right there. And then we just walk away and we forget what we look like. Right? Does that help you? Did you ever read that verse? Okay. But now you're not going to forget that verse. You're going to see that like, oh my gosh, I got broccoli. I got something in my teeth. I got asparagus. That's a stringy one, you know, like it's hanging out. Like, well, take care of it, sister. Take care of it, brother. Here's a toothpick. You know, we got tools for that. We got things to help us, right? The word of God is there to help us. Am I clean now? I better. Okay, I'm good. Broccoli's gone. Everyone can relax. We'll put the lid on that. I love broccoli. If you like broccoli, come to my house. We can have a broccoli. I mean, I love chocolate, you guys know, but like vegetables, talking about vegetables, ask my two guys back there. They will tell you. I think Santo said, well, I think I said for Santos that in the first year of being married to me, he's like, probably like, yeah, like I said, I think this is something I said based on his reaction or response that like in the first year of marriage, he ate more broccoli than in his whole life because I like broccoli. Anyways, but just, you know, clean it out of your teeth when you look in the mirror and you see it, like the word of God. Let it, with humility, let it change you. Let him help you. Take action to go get a toothpick and get that thing out, like whatever it is you're dealing with. Because the word is truth, and it wants to penetrate. The Holy Spirit wants the word to penetrate us so that it can change us, so that we don't have that gross thing sticking out anymore, right? Praise the Lord. We are, in our house, we are working on, we're at the application station. I mean, we should be every day, everybody, but right? But we're attacking one area, or like working on with the Holy Spirit one area of putting the word into practice. Well, a couple areas. And one verse that I say often, or sometimes in I think I've shared this before, that there are certain things that I don't like. Like, I don't know if anyone else is like this. I don't like fire. I don't really like taking heavy things out of the oven. I've never liked, like, I'm just the opposite of a pyromaniac. Like, it just scares me a little. And so sometimes if I have like something with a lot of liquid, or it's heavy and I'm afraid I'm going to burn with the pot holders and all this stuff, and it's just like, ah, my hand's shaking, and that doesn't help because, you know, the thing can't wobble. And as I take it out from the rack and put it up, often you can hear me say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, because it's something that I get a little nervous about. And if I'm the only adult in the house, then I've got to do it. I've got to be a big girl, and I can get this thing out of the oven. But I use the word to do it. And there's listening ears, you know, now in our house. And he, our son, is learning how to put the things into practice. And he's hearing what we do. They hear and they see, your children, even if they don't live with you. But they hear and they see, monkey do. And one day, I don't remember what it was he was doing. I heard him in the living room. I was somewhere else. And I heard him say, I can do. It was like he was whispering to himself. I know, he's covering his face. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I'm like, yes, we're getting it. We're applying the word. And I don't know what it was he was applying it to. Maybe he was just reciting it. I think he was doing something. And he remembered, well, mom does this when, you know, she says that when something is hard. Praise the Lord. We got to put it into practice, and whatever that looks like. And there's humility in that, you know, like, okay, it should be like an adult thing, but pretty easy, right? Take something out of the oven. But I need the word in that moment. And so no shame. I just use the word and I say it out of my heart. And another thing, like I said, we're working on this area of the words that we speak to each other. So practicing Proverbs 18:21, that life and death is in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit, right? And so we're practicing that in our house. And are we perfect? No. Are we working on it? Yes, we are a work in progress. And here's a little thing. You can do this. I heard this mom hack. We do repeat rewind. And so if we mess up and we, you know, our tone and our words and or whatever isn't, whatever that we're working on didn't come out quite right, we do, hang on, repeat, rewind, we get a redo, because with Christ, his mercies are new every day, and we can redo it. And so you that are married, or you can just say to yourself, oh, Holy Spirit, I get a repeat, rewind, let's try that again. And then we like replay the scene, like I come in and say the same thing, and then the response is different this time, because we can change. We can respond better. We can know that life and death is in the power of the tongue. And so sometimes we go, repeat, rewind. Let's speak life over that. Let's try it again. This time, let's speak life over whatever we're saying. So you can try that. Repeat, rewind. It's fun. And you can, like, you know, dramatize it and stuff. Sound effects, the whole thing. Makes it more fun. Applying the word in daily life is deeper than just empty declaring it, because I think we've all been there where we're just declaring the word, but it's not, something's not happening. It's kind of dead. It's like, it's just, we're just declaring it. Yeah, I'm healed. Blah, blah, blah. And then somebody asks how you are, and that all the I'm healed just, you realized, went out the window, like, because it's not really, you're just making empty declarations of things. We have to believe the word. And that, like I said, involves the quickening of the Holy Spirit. It involves us walking in the Spirit, spending time in the word to get that alive in our hearts. Despite what our emotions or our mind or our logic or any of that might feel, what we might feel, or what, you know, our mind or thoughts or whatever tells you. And I thought that there's a connection here between the be-nots You know, the be nots in Romans 4, 17, that this of applying the word in our life to something that is not yet there, like using our faith, it's like calling things that be not as though they were. And it talks about that in Romans 4, 17, like Abraham did, right? We're walking it out, walking out the word. You go against the flesh. You're going against what you think or what the lie is. You might not, like, here's a scripture, you know, from Romans. You are more than a conqueror. Maybe a lot of days, or when you're triggered, you really don't feel like a conqueror. And your mind tells you otherwise, because you've got voices of the false prophets in your life from when you were a childhood telling you that you were everything but a conqueror, that you are not a conqueror. So you're not feeling it. Your mind's not telling you that. But when you're facing a situation, you can call that out in yourself. It's calling things that be not as though they were, because the word says it. Well, the word says that I am more than a conqueror. So I am putting that, I'm valuing the word and what it says more than riches. And I'm putting that, and I need to meditate on that and chew on it and chew on it some more and get that alive in my heart and ask the Holy Spirit to quicken that to me so that the other stuff just falls away, that the lie falls away. And that then is what I can act on. Well, I'm more than, I could apply that one to the oven situation. I'm more than a conqueror. And then I take action because I'm believing it in that moment. And my faith is activated. It's not empty declaration anymore. I'm walking in that thing of I am more than a conqueror, right? Or maybe you don't like heights and you got to get up on a ladder, be safe. But, you know, you can get that word to help you, to assist you, despite what you're feeling. And let those lies that the feelings tell you, the feelings are dangerous sometimes. They're good and God gave them to us and they're messengers, but don't let them rule the ship. Praise the Lord. Don't let them control you and steer you. Your spirit does, and the word of God will help us do that. So here's another one. You may not feel like forgiving the person who hurt you, but you walk out the word anyway. And sometimes with that one, things go deep and the hurt goes deep. And you need to just grab hold to the Spirit of God and get a revelation how much Jesus forgave you. And if he forgave you that much, then I can walk that out. And sometimes it's, you know, praying for the person day in, day out, when they come to your mind, and just saying, bless them, Lord. Bless them, Lord. Bless. And as you do it, your emotions will catch up to you. Your emotions will catch up. You're walking in the Spirit beyond. You're calling things that be not as though they are. I don't feel like forgiving that person. I don't think they deserve. It's not about any of that. It's about you walking in the Spirit, and you having unforgiveness in your heart is going to tie you up. It's going to hold you back here like a ram in the brambles, and you're going to get snared by it. And so let that thing go. Honor God. Obey his word. Forgive and walk it out as you're doing it. Amen. Praise the Lord. We're covering a lot of areas today. Whew. Praise God. You might be thinking, she's reading my mail. Well, you know, it's my mail. I'm sharing you my mail, okay? With you, my mail. Where are we? We're like halfway through. It's late. Are you guys okay? Application station, you're all right? Getting filled up? Okay, we'll just keep going. James 1, 26 to 27. I think that's where I left off. Yeah. Here we go. Buckle up. If you claim to be religious but don't control your tongue, you are fooling yourself. James, that's so harsh. Truth, this is truth. And your religion is worthless. Pure and genuine religion in the sight of God the Father means caring for orphans and widows in their distress and refusing to let the world corrupt you. Okay, so if I identify as a believer, as somebody who's following Jesus, then one could assume that I will or should conduct myself with certain behavior, right? And that I would use words that are positive and appropriate. Well, do I do that all the time? No. But this is saying, if you claim to be religious or be a follower of Jesus, but you don't have a rein on your tongue, you're not controlling what comes out of your mouth, there's no filter, and you're just saying everything that, oh boy, then it says you are fooling yourself. How's that one? Oh my gosh, I'm fooling myself. I just fooled myself. Oh boy. Holy Spirit, let's go to the application station. I need some application. I need to get it in my heart so that I can walk this out, because that's a hard one sometimes, right? It brought conviction. We're fooling ourselves. And it says your religion is worthless. Does anyone else get like major conviction from that? I mean, it's like, oh my gosh, the fear of God. It's saying that, I mean, it's not saying we have to be perfect, but the words we use and how we conduct ourselves, that has, I mean, it's powerful. And there's a world around each one of us, believers and unbelievers, that are watching and that know that, you know, people that know that you're a believer, but she just said that, you know, like, where's our testimony? How is our testimony? Because it says that the words we use and how we conduct ourselves, and that has the ability to make your religion, your following Jesus, worthless. Worthless means futile, barren, empty. That means it strips you of authority. Yikes. Help us, Holy Spirit. Like, by how I live, by what I say, but the actions I take, that's impacting the people around me. I want to live up to the image of God. The world around me, around you, at your workplace, in your home, and everywhere you go, needs truth, which leads to life, which gives glory to God. Right? There's a scripture in Matthew 7, it says, you can identify them, meaning the followers of Jesus, by their fruit, by the way they act. People can pinpoint, or not, hopefully they can say, oh, she's a believer, she's talking like that. Again, there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. We all miss it sometimes. But if it's an area that you struggle with, get on your knees and help me, Jesus. You know, I want to do better in this area. I need a tighter rein on my tongue. You know, praise the Lord. Claiming to be a child of God but not controlling your tongue is hypocrisy. That's what we're talking about. It's like we claim to be this, but we're acting differently in a way that doesn't match up. And there's deception there. As in NIV says in verse 26, it says they deceive themselves. You know, we've been reading in Matthew, in the chapters of Matthew, the religious leaders, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and just all these chapters that, you know, Jesus is just being attacked and set up to, the religious leaders are trying to trap him over and over again. And he responds with pointing out their hypocrisy, that they're, calls them whitewashed tombs, that that we read this last week, you're a dish or you're a cup that's clean on the outside, but on the inside is filthy. Well, I don't want to be like that. Clean me from the inside out, God, so that what is on the outside, like what you see is what you get. And I'm not claiming to be perfect. I'm claiming that Jesus is my socorro, that he's my help, that he's my, that the Holy Spirit lives in me to be my advocate, to help me so that I can be a good witness, that I can, when I do mess up, I say, oh, repeat, rewind. You know, maybe you can teach that to your coworkers. I don't know. Can we repeat, rewind on that one? Let's try some nice words. Let's try that with respect. See how that goes in the corporate world. I don't know. But, you know, like you get a second chance. And if you mess up, then you apologize. You ask forgiveness. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, let me just take a minute here, right? He's our helper. He is our helper. God considers that pure religion, like pure following him, it should manifest in showing love. They'll know us by our love. They'll know by our fruit, by the way we're acting, right? And that we should be able to manifest that love in some way, some shape, some form. And he says here, by caring for orphans, for widows, and protecting yourself from the corruption of the world. That reminds me of Romans 12, right? Do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be renewed or be transformed, thank you, by the renewing of your mind. This is a whole process here of getting our minds renewed in the Word of God, letting it come into our heart, let the Holy Spirit quicken it to us so that we can apply it. And we walk away from the application station going, I just applied the word. Thank you, Jesus, by the grace of God. Not in a prideful, I started that like kind of boastful, prideful way. It's praise you, Jesus. I just was able to apply it by your grace. I walked in that word and I forgave that person. I took the broccoli out of my teeth and I took care of what wasn't clean on the inside, you know, the outside and the inside. Praise the Lord. Okay, active faith. James 2. We went from 1 to 2. It's good. James 2, 14. We'll see if we skip around a bit here. What good is it, dear brothers and sisters? Oh no, what's he going to say to us now? What good is it, dear brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith, but don't show it by your actions? Can that kind of faith save anyone? Oh boy. We're like this. Okay, conviction. We used to do like this in YWAM with my friends. When we felt like we're getting conviction from the word, we would go like this. Like we're getting a cachetazo, like a slap on the cachetada, like, like the word is like bringing conviction to me. What good is it, dear brothers and sisters, James 2, verse 14, if you say that you have faith but don't show it by your actions, can that kind of faith save anyone? Suppose you see a brother or sister who has no food or clothing and you say, goodbye, have a good day, or I'll add, God bless you, Jesus loves you, stay warm and eat well, but then you don't give that person any food or clothing. What good does that do? Verse 17, so you see, faith by itself isn't enough. Unless it produces good deeds, it is dead and useless. Now, someone may argue, verse 18, some people have faith, others have good deeds. But I say, how can you show me your faith if you don't have good deeds? I will show you my faith by my good deeds. If you say you have faith, for you believe that there is one God, good for you. Even the demons believe this, and they tremble in terror. How foolish. Can't you see that faith without good deeds is useless? Verse 21, don't you remember that our ancestor Abraham was shown to be right with God by his actions when he offered his own son, or his son Isaac, on the altar? You see, his faith and actions worked together. His actions made his faith complete. And so it happened just as the scriptures say, Abraham believed God and God counted him as righteous because of his faith. He was even called the friend of God. So you see, we are shown to be right with God by what we do, not by faith alone. All right, we'll just read two more. Rahab the prostitute is another example. She was shown to be right with God by her actions when she hid those messengers and sent them safely away by a different road. Just as the body is dead without breath, so also faith is dead without good works. Faith is dead without good works. In other words, good works, action, putting it into action. Now, you doing good deeds, good works, things that you should do, things that are manifesting the love of Jesus, does that make you any closer to salvation? Does that help you earn salvation?
Nope.
No. So we're not talking about earning salvation, because it's not by your works, right? Through faith, you were saved by grace. And so it's not about that. But it's saying faith without action, faith without your works, is dead. They should work. Faith and faith and actions should go together. They should work together. And when they do, then we will decrease or not have hypocrisy in our life, because what we do on the outside is a reflection of what we believe on the inside, our faith. Just like Abraham, he trusted God, and when God said, go sacrifice Isaac, right, on the altar, then he acted on it. He acted out that belief internally that I trust God. I'm not sure how this is going to end, but I'm going to do it. And God stopped him, right? Because God saw that, oh, he trusts me. He really is going to carry it out. So he didn't have to act that one all the way 100% through, but he went through all the motions of preparing his son as the sacrifice. So we are counted righteous by our faith when we live it out, when we act it out like Abraham did, or like Rahab did, when we show on the outside what the faith that's on the inside. Not just, yeah, I believe. Okay, show me, like he said, faith without showing that action, showing that manifestation, it's dead. It's worthless. Excuse me. So if you believe what is said, like when you read the Word of God, then it'll provoke you, it'll promote you to action. Like if you believe that the words that I speak are true, then if I'm all of a sudden to yell, fire, there's fire, it's going to cause you, if you believe me, it's going to promote an act. What would you do? Would you just sit there? Like if I'm, you know, I'm not a girl who cries wolf. And so, you know, if Sarah starts like, no, her face is real. Like she's for real. She sees fire up here. Ha ha ha. Get it? Spiritually? You know, yeah, right. That's what I just realized. Okay, but like if I'm talking, you know, real fire, I go walk into the kitchen and then I come back and I said, there's fire, get out. And you trust me, you believe that I'm trustworthy, then it's going to promote you to do something. You're gonna not just going to stand there. Well, hopefully you're not going to, you know, shock. Move. You're going to move. You're going to run for the door. You're going to see what you can help with. You're going to call 911. You're going to do all the safety first responder things, right? Fireman Tim would be proud of us that we're going to, you know, go into action of what we should do. Praise the Lord. It should cause us to take action. Our faith should produce something tangible. Praise the Lord. Okay, let's end. Well, with a little bit here. Landing the plane. Matthew 7, verse 24 to 27. Everyone, that's you, that's me, everyone who hears my teaching and applies it to his life can be compared to a wise man who built his house on an unshakable foundation. When the rains fell and the flood came with fierce winds beating upon his house, it stood firm because of its strong foundation. But everyone who hears my teaching and does not apply it to his life can be compared, to a foolish man who built his house on sand. When it rained and the flood came with wind and waves beating upon its house, it collapsed and it was swept away. So, if you're going to build a house, which one would you choose to build your house on? Like just in the natural, building a house. A firm foundation. You want a good, solid foundation. Would you choose rock or would you choose sand? Rock, right? We want an unshakable foundation. And that is wisdom. They're making a metaphor here. Wisdom is to hear the word of God and to apply it to my life, to build my life on this firm foundation of the rock of Jesus Christ, and let that build my life and let that flow out of me. So that's what I'm acting on. That's what holds me. That's the foundation that's in my heart that you can't see, but then you see when I act it out, right? And so let's live that way, built on the foundation of the word and faith promoting or producing action in our lives. Because the result of a house or a life that stands or that's built on the rock, it stands. That's the result. It stands when the winds and the waves will come and the storms will come, right? And they will threaten to, I'm not going to shake, I want to shake all this, you know, like, here comes the wind, here comes the wave. Are you built on the rock, which is the word? Because then even in, it's trying to torment, you know, that's the word in Spanish, Spanish lesson, sister. Tormenta is the word for storm. So it's trying to torment you. The storm is trying to, you know, here comes a tormenta. But if you have the solid foundation of the rock of Jesus Christ, then you will be able to, will it be easy? Will it be fun? Maybe not. But you will be able to take a step because the word is a lamp unto your feet and it's a light to your path. And even though I'm not sure, but I'm gonna go here because I'm on the rock, it's not gonna shake you. Your house isn't gonna crumble. Your life isn't gonna fall apart because I'm standing on the rock and you're able to withstand the tests, the tormentas of life. Spanish lesson. It says here that it's foolishness to hear the word of God and then not apply it to your life. It's like building your house on the sand. I would not want my house on the sand. That would not be a good, produce a good result. It would be result in destruction of the house, right? Because the waves or the wind, the waves, all that stuff is going to, shifting sand, it's going to be destroyed. So we build our foundation on the rock. So let's be people of action, not just letting the word come in and then go out, but trap it in your heart. Stop it. No, it's not going out the other side. And can we put all of this into practice, you know, in 1 week? No. Take one. What's one thing, as I've been talking, what's one area? You know, we gave several different examples here. Anger, your tongue, forgiveness, whatever it is. You're struggling with fear. Whatever it is, take one thing and get a word and get it and chew it. If it takes you 4 weeks, if it takes you 4 months, keep going. Keep going. I'm building my life on the rock so that we can be not hypocrites, but we can be people of action who are applying the word, right? That people go, oh, wow, praise God. They were at the application station. Yeah, we've all been at the application station, getting it into our hearts to apply it, to walk it out, allowing the word to transform us as we do that. So let's truly follow Jesus, follow this way. If we believe God and we believe his word, then it will lead to tangible action and proof in our lives that faith without works is dead. So let's be wise. Let's build our houses on the rock. In other words, our lives, our foundation, and on the word of God. Praise God. Why don't you stand? Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that your word is truth. Oh, thank you, God. We value your word. We want to value your word even more and more and more, more than riches. We want to have a deep appreciation and understanding for your word, that it is what can save our souls. It is powerful. It is active. It divides soul and spirit, cutting away our feelings and our flesh and our soulish realm. And it shows us, God, conviction. It shows us your heart. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for helping us to build our life on the rock, to build our foundation on you, that we can learn every day to how to apply your word. Father God, I pray for each person listening to this, either in person or later or on the replay or whatever, on the podcast, that you would bring revelation of that one thing, that one area, Holy Spirit, because we don't want to get overwhelmed. We can't try to apply all of the Bible this week. But give us a tangible, a practical thing, God, one area that we are working on, that we need your weapon. We need your powerful weapon, and we need to pick it up, and we need to listen to it. We need to hear it, and we need to get it alive in our hearts. Help us, God, to do our part, to be hungry for the word, to chew on it, to meditate it. And Holy Spirit, you do the part of quickening it to us. Thank you for a quickening for each one, God, a quickening that the power of God is activated, that we are, by pressing into you and humbly asking for help of how to apply the word, even when it hurts, even when it's hard, God, even when we don't see that it's possible, that it comes alive, that we need your power, Holy Spirit, that the word is vibrant and alive, and we want it to be alive, not just there on the bookshelf, but alive in our hearts, that we can be people that are walking out and others are influenced and drawn to us, not for our own glory, but for your glory, so that they're attracted to you because they see something different in us. They see that behind what we're doing, that what we choose to do, the words we choose to speak, that there's faith there, and there's something different there, and that there's power of God there that backs us up and helps us to do what we can't physically or humanly do. But it's you, it's your power, it's your word. So I thank you, God. I thank you, Lord, for helping my brothers and sisters, God, helping us to be people who can apply your word. Thank you, Lord, that we will be changed and transformed by the power of your word, and that we can come to your application station and be just radically touched by you. Thank you, God. Over and over, you do it. We open our hearts to receive from you because we trust you. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. We love you. We love your word. In Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Thanks for listening to this episode of My Father's House podcast. We hope you'll subscribe to hear our latest updates. My Father's House is a non-denominational Christian church located at 5712 Bass Road in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We invite you to visit us by checking schedule information at mfhfw.org. At our website, you can also support the work of My Father's House with your tax-deductible donation. We pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers.